Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Cricket Podcast.
I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.
Hello and welcome to the Cricket Podcast. It's our second IPL special.
Whoop whoop.
Max celebrate. Is joining me. Yeah, celebrate. Max is in the house tonight. How are you, Max?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
I'm full of excitement because not only is it Thursday, so it means the weekend is almost here, it's also almost the start of the double headers of IPL cricket at the weekend.
That's where we're really getting down to it now. Back-to-back action.
I think back-to-back action is what the people want and it's what the people are going to get. On this week's special, as always, we will be looking at the previous 3 days and the previous games that have been played, giving them a quick roundup, what the narratives, what's gone in the games. Max, have you been impressed so far? We were pretty happy on Monday.
Yeah, it's I think it's fair to say that the IPL has navigated itself to some calmer waters compared to what we saw over the weekend.
Yeah, well, there was a super over in there.
There was, yes, but the last few days haven't been quite the hair raising chases that we've seen recently.
This is true, and we'll also be previewing the upcoming. Was it six? I think it is between now
six,
and
yeah.
Now and Monday's show.
Friday to Monday.
So it is a jam-packed show, and we'll be sure to get on with it.
Very Max, confusing for all the IPL fantasy players out there.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what's going to happen with that. I mean, I've been burning through transfers like it's nobody's business. Like,
yeah, a little trigger happy.
Well, it's just for me, like the whole Dream 11 fantasy, I've just bought into it. I didn't think I'd like it that much. I didn't know the rules at the start.
That doesn't help, did it? Yeah, we were sort of caught a bit short there with picking a nice team that had a good spread of all the top players and then realising that you can change it 110 times every day.
And that was the bit, but what I do like is there should be an option where I think you should just be able to pick, like, three players from each side and almost do like a dream team like that. That would be quite interesting.
Mm.
I'd definitely do that. Anyway, away from my terrible planning and terrible fantasy cricket, Max, shall we get straight into the show and start off with a review of the Sunrisers Hyderabad versus the Delhi Capitals?
Let's do it.
So I think it's fair to say that our concerns about the explosiveness of the DC lineup were confirmed, as they lost by 15 runs against what is, I think, an increasingly confusing Sunrisers Hyderabad. This time, their big three bats all made more than 40 runs, which propelled them to a decent score of 162, which I think looked like a bit of a tricky surface to bat on. Or the commentators, once they get the, it's a bit too paced, it's a bit too paced, that's all they seem to say.
They get it stuck in their head, don't they?
They really, really do. And then Rashid Khan, I mean, he's just span a web. He finally turned up and removed three of DC's top four and effectively put the game beyond the Capitals.
Maybe that bash to the head did him good the other week.
Yeah, maybe it did. Maybe
it did. Knocked a bit of sense into him. It's interesting, actually, what you're saying about the commentators getting the two-pacedness of the pitch into their heads, because it's quite a lot like what happens to batsmen when they get the two-paced nature of a pitch into their heads. So often you see a game where a team goes out, they find it's a bit slow or, you know, a bit dodgy bounce or something, and everyone goes in to bat absolutely petrified, and then the other team come out, the opener makes it look easy, and everyone's like, I don't know what you're on about.
It is that sometimes people just look a cut above, and it's not because they are better than other people. It is, as you say, it's because some players have just shit the bed themselves. There is a kind of a narrative around the Sunrisers Hyderabad that's coming out, and it's around whether they should or shouldn't be playing Warner, Bairstow, Williamson. And ultimately, that's because Mohammed Nabi is a quality T20 player, and obviously you can't really not play Rashid Khan, especially where they don't have that many bowlers. Mm. After watching the game, do we think actually that they're actually getting their team right with Williamson in? So this is Kane Williamson, if for those of you who don't know cricket.
Yeah, well, I think it's something we spoke about before when I perhaps now made my ill-thought-out prediction of Sunrisers to win the IPL this year, which was based sort of on the fact that they've got their big hitters up the top for the whole competition, which they didn't previously. And the counter to that, obviously, is that they're a little too reliant on Warner and Best up the top. So actually bringing in Williamson does give them a little bit more to fall back on in terms of the batting, and he came in a score of, 40-odd, didn't he? So I think it's something that we suggested they might have to do. They did it, and they won. So I would suggest that maybe they're just going to have to stick with that, and it's going to be bad luck, Mohammed Nabi.
He didn't look like a man who had not played cricket for 6 months either.
No,
he oozed class. I think would be the way. He's just got that ability just to place the ball wherever he wants to put it,
he's a wonderful cricketer, you know.
And I think people sometimes, when a batsman is so technically gifted, they kind of forget that helps in T20 cricket. Sometimes they see a T20 player and it's all about hitting sixes. Mm. But actually, Kane Williamson can hit sixes, but he just looks like an elegant Ian Bell-esque kind of player.
Yeah, I mean, picking the gap is important, isn't it? I mean, you find that the way that teams set up, you know, you get people right on the edge of the circle, sometimes not necessarily minding if they give the single away, because that, you know, it tends to be a good result. But it gives them a little bit more of a chance to cut off the boundary in the infield. So picking that gap becomes all the more important in a game of T20 cricket. So yeah, having that ability is arguably just as important as being able to bash it 100 metres. Because, you know, if you hit it for 75 metres and you hit it for 95 metres, you're still only getting 6 runs.
We'd be amiss if I didn't mention one of my favourite players, and that is Rabada. He's looking ferocious. He's looking fast. He's also smashed a 6, which was nice to see. I always love a fast bowler smashing a 6. It kind of chest out, yes, I'm here.
Yeah, it was a pointless 6, but it was a good 6.
Yeah, well, even better. Some people, I can imagine. Max, I reckon you know how many 6s you've hit in your career.
If you gave me about a minute, I could probably count, yeah. it's definitely single figures.
So I think it's fair to say there's no such thing as a pointless 6 when you're in that position, mate. Anyway, I think that wraps it up. I think it was a good win for Sunrisers, and Delhi Capitals will be disappointed with their performance. Next up on the block was KKR versus the Rajasthan Royals. We kind of went into this thinking that these are two of the most exciting IPL teams, and they were facing off what should be a close encounter. However, our fears about Rajasthan Royals moving to a bigger ground than the back garden of Sharjah ultimately ran true, and they were well beaten by it was a seasoned performance by KKR, actually, I'd say, and pretty inexperienced from Rajasthan Royals. They lost 8 of their 9 wickets out court. Which kind of says didn't really get it right.
You're going to put that down to the batting, aren't you? Rather than magic with the ball.
Yeah, I think KKR kind of, they were just like, you know what, let's be consistent, let's be disciplined and watch themselves get out. And ultimately it was only Tom Curran who didn't get himself out, who hit a pretty good 54.
Yeah.
So I think it's quite interesting. There was no magic, unfortunately, from Tawatia, which everyone was kind of expecting again.
Yeah, well, we hoped for it, didn't we? It was quite a show last time, but I think he left a little too much to do this time around.
We said that KKR might actually start the tournament slowly. That's kind of what they did. I mean, they're kind of picking up pace now and it's starting to click, except for their captain, Kartik. Do we think that that is adding even more pressure on him? Runs are really important as a captain, or actually the fact that they're winning under his captaincy is saving him. What do you think there, Max?
As long as they're winning, then they have to be happy, don't they? Individual performances obviously will, you know, there'll be questions. He's not done well, and he's probably not the star player that a lot of other the other franchises actually have as their captain. So, you know, you look at people like Warner, Smith, Coley, you know, big names, and Kartik probably doesn't quite come into that bracket. But if he's got the nous as a captain to win games, you know, like we've seen it with Owen Morgan for England, if you have that ability, then it's worth having you in there, especially in T20 when tactics comes into it so much more. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, there's only 20 overs, so you might have a bit more of a chance for other players in the team to step up. So, you know, as long as you're winning, I think be happy.
Well, you've heard it here first. Dinesh Kartik is T20's Mike Brearley.
Yeah, that is largely what I was getting at there, isn't it? he's also a good translator. I don't know if you saw the post match where it was Kartik and
Mavi.
When he got the Man of the Match award, Kartik was playing translator for Mavi there, which was a nice little segment. Pommy and Bangwa looked absolutely, well, he just looked confused really when he was trying to talk to to Mavi and asking him the question in English, and then Mavi would respond in Punjabi and, well, not quite answer the question.
I think when it comes to this game, like bowling to people like Joss Butler, Steve Smith, the in-form Samson, let alone Tawatia, who is now obviously mythical status.
Yeah.
Some bowling units would have completely crumbled, I think. But KKR, each of their bowlers took a wicket and only one of them went for over 6.6 in an over, overall. Do you think it was just a case of our Rajasthan Royals kind of having a bit too much confidence? Even though they conceded 200 in both games they played, they chased it down. They were maybe just suffered from that a little bit?
Or maybe. Or, you know, you're not going to be able to chase down 200 every time, are you?
That defeatist attitude.
It doesn't happen regularly. It's not always going to be possible. So if you do rely on batting a lot like that, then you are opening yourself up a little bit to performances like that.
Well, I think it was a great time for them to have a bit of a reality check, if I'm perfectly honest. And it'll probably put, as much as it is a loss, it'll probably put them in a good stead moving forward.
Yeah, and it's kept the table looking quite even and exciting as well, which is always good.
It is. We love a bit of competition. Max, Kings 11 Punjab versus Mumbai Indians.
Yeah. So a game that, well, going into the tournament, you'd have thought you could only see one winner, really. Mumbai Indians are the big cheese of the IPL with the success that they've had. And we said in our preview shows that perhaps Kings 11 Punjab might be one of the weaker sides. It looked like being quite a close game to start with, really. I mean, Rohit scored a really nice 70 or 45, but they never really got away from Kings 11 Punjab with the bat, at least at first. You know, it was looking like maybe 150, 160 would be what they'd end up on, which would be probably a par score. It didn't look like the easiest pitch to bat on. It looked like it was setting it up for an exciting game. And then Karan Pollard and Hardik Pandya turned up, and between them scored 77 off 31 balls.
Yeah, that's quite tasty, isn't it?
So once again, we've seen nearly 80 runs scored off like the last five overs, and and that basically, that ended it really as a contest, I think. Question marks over the decisions to bowl Gautam at the death, an off spinner bowling to two right-handers who promptly took him apart.
Yeah, that was a bit like, oh, thanks, mate. Thanks, KL.
Yeah, cheers for that.
Properly stuffed me up here. They'd already bowled Sheldon Cottrell out, so they couldn't call on him to go for another.
Yeah, 30. Like you say, he went for 30 in an over the other week. Shammy was bowled out. So they're a bit stuck, really. Jimmy Neesham's got a good record as a death bowler, but he went for 52 off his four overs.
I thought Jimmy Neesham had terrible death over stats. Regardless, he went for loads of runs anyway. If he has a good record, then
he doesn't anymore. Have a good anymore. I'm just going on what I've been told.
Oh, okay, by your Jimmy Neesham fan club.
Yeah, otherwise known as Jack.
Yeah, interesting enough, Kings, when Rahul fails, Agarwal looks like a class player, but again, they're reliant so much on those two. Pooran finally hit some runs in the tournament, but even then...
Yeah, it was a nice 40, but you needed more at that point, didn't you, if you're going to win the game? And he batted nicely, and it'll be useful for him. Get a bit of form and hopefully kick on. But yeah, you've hit the nail on the head, really, with what you say about them being so reliant on KL Rahul and Agarwal, who are the top two run scorers so far. They've played a game more than most people, but they're both on over 200 runs, both with a century. And as you say, I mean, Kings 11 have put together some big scores in their last few games, but both of those have involved hundreds from their openers. And if their openers don't get those runs, then the pressure told, really, on the rest of the order. And it was never going to happen after about the first four or five overs.
It's again for me, where is the big show? Glenn Maxwell is not turning up at this tournament.
He had a torrid time of it when he came out. He just looked like he was trying to hit the ball so hard every time. And it didn't look pretty. It really didn't. When he came into bat, actually, there was clearly a tactic by Mumbai Indians. They had Krunal Pandya bowling basically wides.
Right.
Like, there was I think it was his second over. He started with three wides and four balls. And the one dot ball that wasn't a wide was definitely a wide that should have been given a wide and wasn't. And he was basically just, like, deliberately trying to bowl it on that, like, blue line that marks the wide area. And it was... and I think Chahar started doing it as well a few overs later. It was clearly a tactic that they'd gone with in those middle overs to try and, I guess, just pack out one side of the ground and presumably the long boundary and say, right, I'm just going to bowl wide, see what you can do. it wasn't great to watch.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Bowlers have a tougher time as it is. They've got to innovate somehow. And if that's going to be the tactic, that's what they've got to do. Maxwell got 11 off of 18 balls.
Yeah.
My big thing here, Max, when are we going to see Chris Gayle come into this 11?
We all want to see it. Everyone wants to see it. Come on, get him in. Get him in.
I think if you're going to... Like Jimmy Neesham, it's good, well and good having that person in, but I think the only way they're going to win more games in this tournament is if they hit more runs. And Karen Nair is doing nothing to contribute to that.
Okay, maybe we should get Gayle to bowl as well. He could bowl at the death. Bit of off spin.
Big sun-brimmed hat, glasses on. Bit of class. Anyway, that rounds up the games for this week. Max, let's have a quick break and we'll be back with the six previews.
Kings 11 Punjab.
The Kings, eh? Captain Ashwin.
Kings 11 Punjab.
Play Punjabi, play Punjabi.
The Kings, eh?
Yeah, so now we move forward to the previews of the upcoming games. It is time for the double headers, and they start on Saturday. But before that, we are squeaking in, well, not we are, the IPL are squeaking in CSK versus Sunrisers Hyderabad. Max, what can we expect from the game? What should we be looking out for?
Well, last year this would have been a big one, wouldn't it? Top of the table clash could be deciding who makes it through to that all important first, second place finish. This year, it's a bit of a wooden spoon. so far. Actually, though, I think this is a really, really important game in the context of both of their IPL seasons. They both won a game. CSK won their first game against Mumbai Indians, which was a bit of a surprise, and then proceeded to lose fairly meekly their next two. And Sunrisers sort of did the opposite, started pretty rubbish, and then turned it around.
Started to rise up, haven't they?
Oh, rise up. Yeah, very good. Atlanta Falcons style. So, yeah, they will both be hoping that they can get a win out of this based on the form of the other two. And I think it basically will be, well, it will define one of these teams' competitions and sort of get them back into it. Because the table's very even. I think that's one of the things that stands out so far from the IPL is that we're three or four games in and no team has won three games yet.
I think the pitches are actually quite a good leveler on the different grounds. I think they are the way in which they've moved around. There's going to be some teams that play at other grounds more often than others. But actually, I think because people get used to the pitches, they kind of start seeing it as their home ground. And then all of a sudden, they're in another environment and it doesn't go to plan. Mm. So I'm kind of liking that narrative at the moment where we're just mixing up what were very, very well organised IPL.
Yeah, not having a home ground definitely makes a difference to a lot of these teams. So it'll be really, really interesting to see what happens with the two of them. They are
It's a huge thing, right, for CSK. Their whole approach when they played at home was to bowl spinners as much as possible. Mm. And people struggled against that. And now that is just a tactic that is not working for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, we thought it might, we thought that the pitches might be quite conducive to spin based on the fact that they're in the UAE. But actually, we've not necessarily, easy for me to say, seen that. Yesterday, I think we saw that actually it seemed a bit and it was quite good for just bowling line and length. So, perhaps that is something that has affected CSK's chances. So, the other big thing I think about this game is will we see Dhoni do some batting? Because he seems to have shirked the responsibility so far. I know it's hard for a lot of our listeners to hear that, but it is the truth. Sometimes truths are hard and you have to accept the fact. Dhoni's hiding at the moment, and perhaps this is the game where he comes out and stamps his authority on things and takes CSK back into the middle of the table and in with a shout for a successful season. Sunrisers, on the other hand, we will be, I think, looking at their selection, that'll be what we'll be most interested in. Do they stick with Kane Williamson ahead of Mohammed Nabi, or do they go back to what they tried in the first two games, which ultimately failed them? So I think they're the two things to watch out for in that one. But it could be a tight one. It might not be a high-scoring thriller, but it could be one of those close ones.
Fair enough. I think Dhoni hides so much, he even wears camouflage would be one of my jokes. I think I'd rather. I'm going to go for actually a Dhoni win, actually. I think the CSK will overcome Sunrisers Hyderabad purely on the fact that I've got no evidence.
Right.
I just think they've had, I think it was 7 days off now, or at least six days off. They surely will have a new game plan. If they don't have a new game plan, they will lose. Anyway, moving on to the double headers. So it's RCB versus the Rajasthan Royals. The mystery machine that is Kohli Doo and the gang turned up big time in their last game, batting-wise. But their bowling continues to worry. Chris Morris may well return to the side, but team balance will again be an issue. Rajasthan Royals will be looking to Joss Butler and Steve Smith, who has continued in his opener role, to set them a much better platform than they have been doing. Again, it's their bowling that poses the biggest issues. Spin is going to become increasingly important in this tournament. And unfortunately, Gopal looks like a village idiot, let alone a village cricketer. And so let's expect this to be a battle. Let's expect this to be a battle of who can be the least shit, I think. And when AB de Villiers is on one of those sides, it's probably not going to be his team. So for me, it's going to be an RCB win. Max, what do you think about that? Do you think we've got that right, or am I being a bit too harsh to the Rajasthan Royals?
Well, there is a lot of talent in the Rajasthan Royals side. Mm-hmm. And when it comes together, boy, does it come together. We saw that in some of the earlier games. So I think perhaps a little harsh. And if there's one thing that we've learned so far from this tournament is that our guesses and predictions have been fairly wide of the mark.
I think ours are pretty good. We've been running the polls.
Well, I think
on Twitter.
Generally the thing about that is that there's three of us, and each of us tends to make a slightly different decision. So there's always a good chance that one of us is going to be right. as they say, if you throw enough shit against the wall, some of it will stick. But yeah, our listeners, on the other hand, have been dire. Mm-hmm. Did we do a poll? I'm not sure if we did a poll today, but as of yesterday, they were 1 from 9.
Yeah, it's a pretty good record, guys.
That's,
I think we should keep it up.
Far from a statistical anomaly at this stage.
I think your point around there being a lot of talent in the Radstown Royal side completely rings true for RCB as well, and it completely depends on how they turn up.
We're used to them blowing it, though, aren't we?
Yeah, we are indeed. We are indeed. Jofra Archer, obviously, and he's bowling pretty well, actually.
He is bowling fast.
I think when we were chatting on WhatsApp, it was around Archer. If Archer bowled like that in the test team, that's where you want him. That's where you want him to be bowling.
Mm.
You don't want him in this weird enforcer role. You want him doing what he's doing in this tournament.
Just wind him up and let him go, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Listen and learn.
It's an RCB win for me. Max, are you going to back the Royals?
Yeah. And then one of us is right.
There we go. We're covering all bases on the podcast, not sitting on the fence. Next up in the doubleheader Super Saturday is the Delhi Capitals versus Kolkata Knight Riders. It's currently first versus second in the matchup, and two of the teams who they go about things slightly differently. KKR, like the power bottom of the IPL, while DC take a more traditional kind of missionary approach, I think, is the way in which I'd describe it.
Missionary, interesting. what would KKR be then?
As I said, they'd be the power bottom, Max. That's the role they would be taking.
The power
up.
Bottom, is that?
Yeah, I say they're the cowboys of the competition.
The cowboys,
yeah. We'll go with that if we're going to continue on this.
the metaphor that you've chosen.
This game will ultimately come down to a battle between their bowling unit, DC. So they've got Naughty, who I will always get his name wrong.
Yep.
Rabada, Mishra, etc. Versus KKR's hitters in Russell, Morgan, Rana and Kartik. I mean, Kartik, I don't see him as the biggest hitter in the world, but Narayan will definitely play, I think. Yet there is some rumours, and I'm not sure where these rumours are coming from, Max, that Narayan might well be replaced by Tom Banton. Narayan currently has an economy of nearly 8 and with an average of 46, which is not really what you want from your supposed strike bowler. And then with the bat, he's averaging just 9, which is not great in itself. But it's a strike rate of 92. So he's not even doing his pinch hitter role like he should be doing. Is this just a case of people have worked him out a little bit, Max? Or do we think that, do you know what, it's just a bit of a dip in form, he will soon come good?
Well, he's been around in the IPL for quite a long time and been fairly successful. So it might be a change in conditions. Don't know. It's a tough one. So the talk is around dropping in for Tom Banton. But that does take away a bowling option. So is that with a view to doing some more reshuffling or literally a like-for-like?
Well, it's an interesting one, right? They've obviously got the limit on the overseas players, but we don't know what Tom Banton bowls, do we, Max? And he could He could be the perfect. You never know. He could be the perfect opening bowler. Imagine that. Somerset wicketkeeper, an England wicketkeeper, turned IPL opening bowler. That is an IPL success story waiting to happen.
Stranger things have happened.
Speaking of stranger things, there's been plenty of super overs this year. And last year, one of the highlights of the IPL was Rabada versus Dre Russ. Can we see this game going to the wire? I'm thinking we kind of could. If we did see that, who do you reckon would come out on top?
I'm going to go with Rabada. He's looking hot at the moment.
He's looking great. These two teams do look like the two best teams in the tournament at the moment. Is that fair to say, or am I jumping the gun a little bit on this?
I think that's fair. I think they're the most exciting. KKR are the most exciting, and Delhi Capitals seem to have been the most consistent, apart from their somewhat surprised defeat the other day. to Sunrisers. But we've spoken about it before. The narrative behind Delhi Capitals is that they don't necessarily have the firepower. So if KKR go out there and put a big score up, I would back them quite comfortably.
Fair enough. Next up is Super Sunday. So we move from Super Saturday to Super Sunday. First game is Mumbai Indians versus Sunrisers Hyderabad, is it not, Max?
Correct, yes. So after Friday's, last hurrah. I mean, I've built it as a last hurrah. We're only four games in, so it's a little little premature. But it's
the relegation six-pointer.
The relegation six-pointer between CSKA and SRH. They both have a chance to kick on from whatever they do there. Probably Sunrisers with the slightly tougher task as they face Mumbai Indians straight up. Mumbai Indians are probably showing signs of clicking into gear, I'd say. They were probably unlucky to lose in that super over after the rear guard action actually brought them to a tie, and then they fell short just at the end with some... Yeah, what was it, 7? 7-for-1 they got? That's not going to win you a super over. And as we said, Sunrisers have been a bit poor, but after bringing in Kane Williamson last time out, it did make a difference. But they've got no really big scores yet, which is quite surprising given the firepower we talked about with Warner and Best up the top. Mm-hmm. And if they don't put on another big score, they might be in trouble, because Mumbai Indians have been scoring big. In their last three games, it's been... Over 190 in each of the last three.
Yeah, when you've got someone, when you come up against Brohit, it's all about matching him.
Yeah.
You've got to get him out early, or you need someone who's going to match him. And David Warner and Bairstow both have it in the locker. Pandey's looked okay, but it's kind of that anchor role more than anything as a big hitter. And Williamson, as we said, he's going to be the glue that keeps this unit together.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. So... largely down to the batting lineups, I think that one will be key to who comes out on top. But for me, I can't see anything but a Mumbai Indians win myself, especially with the likes of Bumrah, who you just can't score runs off. It just doesn't happen. You can't do it.
I wonder how, if we were to face Bumrah, how we'd get on. If we both had six balls,
yeah.
How many times do you reckon you'd get out against Bumrah?
It depends how many times the ball was going to hit the stumps, because I'm not getting anywhere near any of them. if he bowls outside the line of the stumps, then it's a maiden, and I walk with the red ink, and we're all happy. You know, I might get lucky. If I swing, I might get an edge down to third man for four. Please leave third man open.
Love it. Max, the next one is also on you for Kings 11 Punjab versus CSK.
Yeah, so CSK's follow-up to their game with Sunrisers is arguably a little easier than Sunrisers against Mumbai. If CSK win these two games, then they are right back in it, up towards the top of the table, given how even it's been so far with teams trading wins. And I mean, they've definitely got a chance. Kings 11 have definitely got bowling issues. We've seen that. Aside from Shami and Cottrell, they're scrabbling around really for overs, especially when it comes to the death. Maybe a question about whether they should bring back Chris Jordan, who can bowl at the death, although in his early outings showed no sign of being able to bowl at the death. So maybe not such a good idea. We'll see.
We want Gale.
And we do want Gale. And then, of course, the other thing that we've already mentioned today is the reliance on Rahul and Agarwal, who have been smacking it to all parts. But if they don't smack it to all parts, then they're left a bit stuck. So another close one, I expect, without too many fireworks. What do you reckon, Ross? What do you reckon is going to be the outcome of that?
Well, I think it's interesting because, as you said, like, for CSK, they've got two, actually, if you were to judge the fixtures, two pretty easy fixtures. So Sunrisers and Kings 11, both very winnable. Mm. And if they win both of those, that completely transforms what they've done in the competition. Yeah. All of the pressure that's on Dhoni, all of a sudden everyone's going, he's a genius, we've told you, never doubt Dhoni. And so it's that bit, I said CSK will probably beat Sunrisers. I mean, I'm really hoping they don't, because I think they'll easily win this game. There's just something about Kings 11 that it just... They just seem like a bit of a basement team to me, if I'm perfectly honest.
Well, this is the other thing I've written down, is that it's the team that we thought should be bad, but actually aren't that bad, against a team that we thought should be good and are quite bad. We looked at the Kings 11 squad and we thought that they were probably the weakest team in the tournament. I think that's fair to say. And then Raul and Agarwal have come out and, well, shown us up, really. So thanks for that, guys. And then on the other hand, CSK, you know, we thought Captain Dhoni leading the line, Rashid Khan. Nope, so I got that wrong. But you know what I mean.
I do know.
You know.
Okay, Max. Well, you're going to sit on the fence, I'm guessing, and go for a tie or in that game.
I'm going to go with Kings 11 Punjab.
Okay. Well, I'll take CSK, and we'll see who comes out on top in Monday's show. Finally, and to wrap up the preview and the podcast, we've got RCB, so the Royal Challengers Bangalore versus Delhi Capitals. The Lottery Balls, led by their chief ball picker in Kohli, face off against the ever reliable but somewhat boring Delhi Capitals, which I think will result in Rabada getting even more wickets to contribute to his purple cap. Could well see the return of Ravi Ashwin, which could be a huge, huge benefit for them. I think a typically middling and consistent performance by Delhi Capitals will get them a win here, purely by the fact that both of these teams only have a day between this game.
Yeah,
and I kind of think that actually, can you expect fireworks, as you were kind of talking about in the last preview, to happen all the time? They do have the players to do that, but actually, I think rotation is going to start to become a bit of a factor. And RCB's second is string. I wouldn't trust that to hold a joint of ham together, let alone anything else. So it's going to be. I think it's going to be. Josh Philippe, when he came in, looked all at sea as an IPL international player.
What was that all about? That was such a bizarre selection.
Yeah, he's got loads and loads of promise, but ultimately he might have just been promoted a little bit too soon.
Mm.
So I think for that game, I think Delhi Capitals are going to have that in the bag. I think they're only going to get stronger if Ashwin does come back. And I think we're yet to see the best from the likes of Stoinis. He showed up in the first game, but actually I think they're going to start to figure out a little bit more what their best batting lineup is, and they've already got a few wins under their belt. I just can't see RCB doing anything in that game, unfortunately.
I think it's amazing how quickly we've changed our minds about Marcus Stoinis.
About half a year ago,
we were asking, what is a Marcus Stoinis? And now now he's the key to all the success of the Delhi Capitals.
I think I just like him more because Jack doesn't like him. I think that's a very endearing quality to me.
It's always a good position to take.
So Max, who do you think's going to be on the winning end there?
I think it's let's say it's going to be one of those days where RCB get it right.
Oh, I like it.
I like to be controversial.
Well, what we are going to know by Monday is how the IPL is shaping up even further. It's obviously been a little bit of a slow burn. There's been some fantastic games in there so far, and the table is looking, as you've said, Max, relatively even. By the time our podcast comes out on Tuesday, it's going to look very, very different, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And if it doesn't, then, well, it won't, will it? Because we've just said it's going to look different. So it's bound to look exactly the same. But that's good for the competition. You know, we want to keep it going as deep as possible and as few dead rubbers at the end as possible is what we want. Keep everyone engaged.
Absolutely. Right, that wraps up the show. Please share it with your friends. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Cricket Pod and subscribe on all podcast platforms. Thank you very much for listening. Max, thank you for joining.
Claire, thank you for having me.
The Cricket Podcast.
I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
Very good.
Sports Social Podcast Network.